This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Another hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine on a holiday weekend. Yeah, we're here when a lot of folks are hanging out at the beach and... Well, I can't think of a place I'd rather be than right here behind this very microphone sharing vital information with you this holiday weekend. And because we're live, that means you can call us 877-726-8255, wherever you are, near and far. You can have an appointment with me. You can get a house call. That's rare in this day and age. 877-726-TALK is our number. So check in with me and we'll give you some advice related to your lifestyle, your diet, your supplements, even high-tech medical interventions. Everything's fair game on this program. Among the stories we're going to cover this hour, early life exposure to nicotine may cause you to become addicted to other things down the line. Also, a new prescription for psych patients, exercise, hospital food, and the bleach cure for autism. All these coming up for you this hour. 877-726-8255 is our number. And you know the movie Dumber and Dumber? Or is it Dumberer and Dumberer? And so Dumb and Dumber, they even did like a Dumb and Dumber Part 2. It was just so popular. That notion that people are getting dumber. And, well, it turns out it may be a truism that IQ scores across the world have started to decline. Now, this is countering a trend which we thought was just going to be onward and upward. When IQ scores were first developed in the early part of the 20th century, there was an interesting trend. They just kept going up and up and up. And that has to do with the fact that maybe communications ability, newspapers and radio and media started people thinking more out of the box. And maybe education became more universal. Maybe it even had to do with the fact that a lot of people were malnourished, were literally suffering from starvation. And then with adequate nutrition, their brains matured, and IQ tests started to go up. In fact, scholars called it the Flynn effect, F-L-Y-N-N, in homage to a guy named J.R. Flynn, the researcher who first recognized the upward trend in IQs. But there's something happening here, and what it is ain't exactly clear. It's a decline in IQs in most major developed countries. And you may say, well, of course, people are getting stupider in the United States. That's obvious. Well, it turns out the trend actually hasn't hit the U.S. yet. But this global intelligence crisis is a dire portent for what could happen in the United States. And we don't know what to do to prevent it. So some possibilities include something that's a little along the lines of eugenics. Eugenics, if you'll remember, was an early 20th century belief that we ought to weed out people with diseases and so-called mental defectives. And it resulted in sterilization of people with mental disorders, and ultimately resulted in the terrible crimes of Nazi Germany, where they practiced eugenics. They took people who were so-called mental defectives, or people who were, quote, asocial, or criminal elements, or people with handicaps, and they put them in gas vans, or they sent them to concentration camps for extermination. Well, the idea is that maybe because we're not killing people off who are, quote, defective mentally, that it's messing up our gene pool, and therefore we're experiencing decline in intelligence. That would be a totalitarian or Nazi-like interpretation of why the IQ scores are going down. But here's what pushes back against that theory. Even children born to high IQ parents are slipping down the IQ ladder. This is based on research in Scandinavia. They found that folks born to individuals who are of relatively higher IQ, they have declining scores these days. So what could be going on? Well, I can think of a lot of things. One thing is screens and screen time. The type of intelligence that's required to navigate screens is different than the type of intelligence that's required to navigate a three-dimensional real world. And as a result, it is possible that people's intelligence is being robbed by their electronic devices. That's one theory. Another, and this is one I subscribe to, is that people's intelligence is being robbed by the poor quality of modern industrialized diets, diets that are deficient in vitamins, minerals, and essential fatty acids, laden with sugar, refined carbohydrates, and chemicals, and that this is robbing our brain power. The other issue, environmental pollution, the pervasiveness of all kinds of chemicals in our air, our food, our water supply, these chemicals may be doing damage to kids' brains, and they may be growing up dumb and dumber as a result. At any rate, it's a global intelligence crisis and a dire portent for what could be happening in the United States. It's not just an epidemic of neurodegenerative diseases, diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease, but also diseases that affect children like autism and attention deficit disorder, and that may rob ordinary adults of a few IQ points here and there. Well, who cares, as long as we have our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Reddit. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number. And if you're looking for a way to alleviate fatigue, and who isn't? Because let's face it, as we age, our performance declines. Younger people are suffering from various conditions, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia. These are conditions that can be alleviated with NT Factor. You've heard me talk here about NT Factor. It's the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age or illness or just being run down. NT Factor works on the mitochondria. That's where it's at in terms of energy production. It repairs damaged mitochondria. And clinical trials have shown that NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half. It even reverses some symptoms of aging. NT Factor is available in ProPax. That's a one-stop shop for all your vitamin mineral needs. But a way to get pure NT Factor is with a product called Healthy Aging. It's the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking. You can keep your multi and your favorite fish oil and other supplements and just take Healthy Aging along with it. Provides you with unique energy support of pure NT Factor and a potent delivery system. I've been taking NT Factor for years. I don't go a day without it. And now with a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. Find ProPax or Healthy Aging at your favorite health food store, or to order direct, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. When we return, we're going to talk about early life exposure to nicotine may set the brain up for subsequent addiction. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you happen to be on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins into the system that can actually poison metabolic pathways and slow your metabolism, causing your weight to plateau even in the face of stringent diet adherence. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol, a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination, easing the blahs that sometimes compromise your dietary resolve. The Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol is an easy way to get the exact combination of the targeted nutrients you need. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immunity protocols and much more. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
Dance floor is open. Come on, everyone. Let's shake it.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today, available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number. Should you care to access our consultative services during the program? Yeah, we're free. We're available. We're doing house calls even on this holiday weekend. It's 877-726-TALK for Intelligent Medicine. And this item has to do with the power of nicotine to shape the brain to be predisposed to addiction later in life. And it's an animal experiment, and I'll share this with you in a moment, but this has really dire implications for, number one, the very rare instances where women smoke during pregnancy. I mean, that's such a no-no that I think women, even inveterate smokers, tend to snop during pregnancy. But women who are pregnant in a smoky environment, that's not good. And this also has implications for the early introduction of nicotine into the brains of kids via devices like the Juul. The Juul is a very fine device for some of my older patients who smoke cigarettes, and I tell them, get the Juul. And, you know, if you still need to inhale, you don't like the nicotine gum or the lozenges, you can get nicotine substitution, you can suck on it, it'll give you a mouth feel. It's not quite like a cigarette, but at least it's a way that you can prevent yourself from inhaling burning tobacco leaves, tar, and chemicals. You get the nicotine in a pure form. It's not that bad. But kids these days are concealing little Juul devices, and they're learning to smoke at the age of 13, 14, 15. It's really quite prevalent in junior high schools and high schools. In addition to the dangers posed by the heavy metals and the plastics and the additives in the Juul solutions, some of which are highly flavored and especially appealing to little kiddies, the nicotine can shape their brains to make them more prone to other forms of addiction later in life. And addiction may take the form of drug addiction, certainly regular cigarettes, but also potentially addiction to food. I mean, it's the same part of the brain that gets activated by chocolate cherry cheesecake as by nicotine. It's the pleasure center of the brain. So they say this experiment was done with animals, and the in this case, newborn mice were exposed to nicotine. You know, it's hard to get newborn mice to smoke. You know, they don't readily go to like a little tiny mouse cigarette and inhale. So how do you get them the nicotine? You administer the nicotine to the mothers, and then through lactation, through the mother's milk, the little baby mice are getting nicotine into their brains. And what happened is that the ventral tegmental area of the brain was reshaped in such a way that subsequent addictive behavior was made more likely. So they say here, quote, previous studies have already shown that maternal smoking and early postnatal exposure to nicotine, it could be passive smoke, are associated with altered children's behaviors and an increased propensity for drug abuse in humans. That's, you know, wow. It's like a gateway drug for crack and for cocaine and for methamphetamines and for other types of addictive drugs. So not great. Okay, when it comes to psychiatry, our armamentarium for patients with depression and schizophrenia consists of drugs. But here they're saying that research shows that treatment of a wide range of mental health and mood disorders could be via physical exercise. They say the physical exercise is so effective at alleviating patient symptoms that it could reduce patients' time admitted to acute facilities and reliance on psychotropic medication. So even, you know, not just mild depression, yeah, okay, you're depressed, get on the treadmill, get on the bicycle, get in the pool. No, it turns out that patient symptoms such as anger, anxiety, and depression could be dramatically curtailed through a natural intervention, the natural intervention being exercise, which could make a big difference in their care. The research, fantastic thing about this result is, according to an expert, that if you're in a psychotic state, you're sort of limited in what you can do in terms of talk therapy or psychotherapy. But whereas with exercise, you can use your body and help get yourself out of a serious emotional tailspin. Interesting study out of the University of Vermont. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you happen to be on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins into the system that can actually poison metabolic pathways and slow your metabolism, causing your weight to plateau even in the face of stringent diet adherence. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol, a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination, easing the blahs that sometimes compromise your dietary resolve. The Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol is an easy way to get the exact combination of the targeted nutrients you need. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immunity protocols and much more. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
Looking for that perfect beach body this summer or just trying to stay healthy? Managing your weight is so important. Weight management is more than simply calories consumed versus calories burned. Achieving your ideal weight also depends on your digestive system functioning effectively. Research has shown that one of the most important things in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of good bacteria, probiotics, in our GI tract.
These friendly bacteria help regulate blood sugar, normalize our appetite, and process food that is challenging to digest with less gas and bloating. World-renowned Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is a flora balancing system that does that and more. Dr. O'Hara's carefully selected strains of live, beneficial bacteria work synergistically to optimize health, aid in the absorption of our nutrients, and help with weight management. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Get them today. Available at Sprouts, Whole Foods and Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural health retailers. Also online.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and our number 877-726-8255. And just as a program note, let's say you're doing something, you don't want to call, you don't want to get live on the air with me. You can email your question to radioprogram@AOL.com, and we will use that question as grist for the mill for our weekly Q&A with Layla. Or go to drhoffman.com, and on the home page, if you're using a PC or Mac, a little box will appear on the right, which will prompt you to record a question, and your recorded question will be read live on the air. But we've got a call from Gwen in Iowa. How you doing, Gwen? Hi, Gwen.
Hi. Recently, I heard part of what you said in a broadcast about AFib and sugar, and I didn't hear much of it. And I was wondering, what are the natural things a person can do for AFib?
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, let's first look at the relationship between sugar and AFib. Sugar can affect atrial fibrillation in a couple of ways. One is a fast way, and the other is a slow way. Let's start with a slow way. The slow way is that in patients who have abnormal blood sugar and prediabetes and diabetes, that has an adverse effect on the conduction channels of the heart and can mess up the electrical system of the heart. Sugar messes up virtually everything in the body. It messes up your brain, your heart, your blood vessels, your organs, your joints, your skin. And therefore, a diet that is high in sugar and high in refined carbohydrates is probably not going to be good for atrial fibrillation. But in the short term, ups and downs of blood sugar will trigger a release of adrenaline, and adrenaline will set your heart a pattering. Can cause heart racing. So you want to keep your blood sugar stable by eating low glycemic index foods, by making sure you have adequate protein and healthy fats along with your complex carbohydrates. So in terms of natural strategies for atrial fibrillation, eat an anti-inflammatory diet. It's actually been shown that pro-inflammatory foods inflame that delicate machinery in the heart, which governs heart rhythm. In fact, that's actually the theory behind why coffee consumption is not associated with a higher incidence of atrial fibrillation. Strangely enough, you might think, well, you know, you drink 6-8 cups of coffee and boom, your heart's going to race and you'll have atrial fibrillation. And I guess in some cases that may be true. But overall, high caffeine consumption is associated with protection against atrial fibrillation for the very reason that coffee contains beneficial polyphenols, which have an anti-inflammatory effect. These are the same polyphenols or similar to polyphenols you find in green tea and red wine and cocoa. So any inflammatory diet consists of lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, things like oily fish, which are rich in omega-3 fatty acids, spices, which have an anti-inflammatory effect, like turmeric. These are the things that actually can prevent atrial fibrillation from occurring. Now, if you have atrial fibrillation, the recommendation is you get adequate magnesium. And the type of magnesium that I recommend for atrial fibrillation is magnesium taurate in particular. Magnesium taurate's got two things, the magnesium and the taurine, that seem to help regulate heart rhythm. And so a lot of people, they take one or two, and they say, well, that didn't help. But really, unless you have kidney failure, you'll tolerate higher doses, 4 or 6 capsules a day. And some of my patients, when we supervise them, make sure their magnesium levels don't go too high, we can have them take as many as 8 capsules a day. And that may be the threshold which is required to keep their heart in normal rhythm. You also want to take coenzyme Q10 because when you have atrial fibrillation, you're compromising the pumping action of your heart. So therefore, take coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol. That's going to help to support your heart as well. So those are some of the things that you can be doing. You yourself suffer from atrial fibrillation, Gwen?
My husband.
Yeah. Okay. And you're on medication for it and blood thinners?
Yes, he's on warfarin.
Warfarin. Okay. Well, with warfarin, the one precaution is make sure you don't take too high doses of vitamin K because that can actually neutralize the effects of the warfarin. And there are newer medications like Pradaxa where you don't have to worry about the vitamin K. I'm a little surprised that Coumadin is the drug of choice in this case, but there may be a reason your doctor has selected that. Thanks for your call. Talking about hospital food here, I mean, this is just what I really have a problem with this because hospitals, number one, people who are sick require really good, healthy food. And number two, when you go to the hospital, it's a teachable moment. You're sick, you're humbled, and the kind of food that they serve there should serve as an example for what you should do when you're out of the hospital, right? Well, this story comes to us from UK, and the headline here is 3/4 of food bought in the UK hospitals are unhealthy, the audit shows. They just recently did research using an audit of NHS health centers, that's National Health Service, and they found that people overwhelmingly bought unhealthy snacks and drinks on the premises, on the very premises. Now, this is interesting. This is in a country that has socialized medicine. So there's centralized control of the medicine. So how is it that the centralized control doesn't dictate that there are healthy choices within the hospital? You might say, well, okay, you know, in the United States, it's a free enterprise. The hospitals are private. They can do what they want. They can sell out to concessionaires from fast food places. They get a Burger King or a McDonald's there because they offer them more money than other healthier hospital services. But we're talking about the UK. Are the concessions from fast foods subsidizing the National Health Service over there? That's crazy. 3/4 of the best-selling snacks in hospital cafes and canteens were rated as unhealthy, along with half of the most popular cold drinks, according to a report by the audit's auditors. This is in The Guardian, which is, I guess, the New York Times of England. For calories, fat, and sugar content, the baked items scored the highest of all the snacks available in hospitals that took part in the audit. Only 5 of the 20 top-selling snacks were found to be healthy. So they had cookies and muffins and cakes, all available in the snack bars, in the canteens, cafes, shops, and eating areas, and in the vending machines of the hospitals. Maybe it's the hospital personnel who prefer eating those types of foods because they are notoriously bad eaters, the doctors, the nurses, the medical personnel. Among the junk food options were pork pies. 39 grams of fat and carbonated drinks with 65 grams of sugar, slices of raspberry cake that contained a single slice of raspberry cake contained 641 calories. And so that's right there. That's about 1/3 of the calories that you need in a single day. You know, it took a while. But finally, in 2017, Scottish hospitals had to ensure that at least half of the products they sold met, quote, enhanced nutritional standards. And it took a while for the National Health Service of England to offer cash incentives to hospitals if 80% of their snacks had fewer than 250 calories. But they're still not getting with the program. And, you know, yeah, the story is about the U.K., and we have some listeners over there. Maybe some people find this less relevant. But, man, you go to the average hospital in the U.S. and you go to the canteen or you look at the vending machines or you look at the hospital cafeteria. And unless it's a real model hospital, and there are a few of them across the country, The fare is abysmal. Now, with the exception of, and I'll mention one place, Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital, even 30 years ago, had a model cafeteria where they served really healthy food. I remember even as a medical student when I rotated through Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital, that the food was exceptionally good, and they were really leaders in advocating healthy diet for the people eating there. And so we need more of that on the hospital scene, because the food in hospitals is bad for the patients, and it's a bad example to set that in the very belly of the beast, in the bastions of advanced high-tech medical care, that the food that's served there is so lagging behind new findings in nutritional science. It's just, we're just not, we're so far behind our technical advances in medical care. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Everyone's raving about the newest botanical superstar hitting the store shelves nationwide. Hemp-derived cannabidiol, or CBD, has been receiving a lot of attention for its tremendous promise on human health. Plus, CBD oil by CV Sciences is the trusted brand setting the standards in this newly emerging category of plant-based extracts, offering a variety of hemp-derived CBD oil products that you can count on. In order to make the highest quality CBD oil products available, it is important to manage every step of the supply chain process, from seed to shelf. That's why, from harvesting our EU-certified hemp seeds, to laboratory testing for quality and safety, to producing our exceptional line of products, we are committed to going the extra mile. It is our commitment to you. Join the CBD evolution. Ask your local natural health retailer about Plus CBD oil products by CV Sciences today. Follow us on Facebook and learn more at pluscbdoil.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And, you know, when I spoke earlier about dumb and dumber and how our IQs are declining, one factor that I did not take into account was the fact that we're giving birth to children at older and older ages. Women are delaying pregnancy, and older men are siring children. Well, that's been the history of mankind, is that sometimes older men take younger wives and have second and third families. But this new study suggests that that may be a perilous practice. Older fathers put health of partners and unborn children at risk, according to a Rutgers University study. Men who delay starting a family have a ticking biological clock, just like women, that may affect the health of their partners and children, according to researchers. And so one of the things that women are doing increasingly now with the new technology is, you know, maybe they haven't found their desired life partner and they're in their mid-30s or pushing 40, and so they bank their eggs. It's a very prevalent practice among young professional women here where I live in New York. And it's kind of a good idea because it takes sort of the pressure off. You don't have to grab the next guy that you see and get hitched because you've got some frozen eggs, so that later on when you meet your life partner, you can make a more rational choice to have those eggs fertilized and have a successful pregnancy with younger, more viable eggs. So the study reviewed 40 years of research on the effect of parental age on fertility, pregnancy, and the health of children. And it looked at, in particular, at men. The study found that men 45 and older can experience decreased fertility, but also put their partners at risk for increased pregnancy complications, such as gestational diabetes, preeclampsia, and preterm birth. That's interesting because you might think, well, it's the risk is to the offspring. But no, actually, if you have a bad pregnancy, you could put your partner at risk. Infants born to older fathers, and the definition, they're not sure where that starts, somewhere between 35 and 45, were found to be at higher risk of premature birth, low Apgar scores, low birth weight, higher incidence of newborn seizures and birth defects such as congenital heart disease and cleft palate, and ultimately higher risk of childhood cancers, psychiatric and cognitive disorders, and autism. So why is that the case? I mean, older sperm may be just like older eggs, more subject to changes or mutations. There also may be a natural decline in testosterone that affects the sperm and causes poor semen quality. Older men may have had more time to accumulate environmental toxins, or perhaps their sperm has been affected by excess consumption of alcohol. Any number of things could damage the sperm of older men. And therefore, they say if men plan on delaying fatherhood, they should consider banking sperm before their 35th, or at the very least, by their 45th birthday, to decrease the increased risk to the health of the mother and child. So interesting. Men need to take some responsibility in that regard. And I just tried to look up Charlie Chaplin, because Charlie Chaplin was, you know, he had like four wives, four cohorts of children, and he had a couple of children by his fourth wife, and I believe he was in his 70s at the time. Didn't turn out too bad, because one of his sons, very gifted composer, Christopher Chaplin, born in 1956, it didn't seem to set him back in terms of his intellectual development. All right, your skin, you need to pay attention to it because it protects your body, it helps regulate body temperature, allows you to have a sense of touch. It's the first thing other people see, so it helps people form an impression of you, and treating and preventing serious, unsightly, and at times painful skin problems should be done from the inside out, not by smearing on topical creams. That's why for over 28 years, people worldwide have experienced safe and positive results with the award-winning vitamin formula, Herpanosine Skin Support. Herpanosine Skin Support remains the number one skin supplement on the market and utilizes the finest quality gluten-free, non-GMO vitamins, herbs, and amino acids and antioxidants. 11 powerful and proven ingredients that work together synergistically to support your skin's health from the inside out, where it counts. It's manufactured in an FDA-licensed facility. It's backed by science. Healthy skin starts from within. You can get Herpanosine Skin Support online at diamondformulas.com or by calling 888-467-4200. Use the coupon code Hoffman for free shipping at diamondformulas.com or call 888-467-4200. Herpanosine Skin Support. This item has to do with something that, again, is near and dear to my heart. It's anthropology. And so it's kind of hard to reconstruct the DNA of people who died 10 or 15,000 years ago, because we can find their bones, but unless they're frozen in the tundra or mummified, it's very hard to extract living DNA from their dried, desiccated remains. So here's a novel application of this. It turns out that the first humans who settled in Scandinavia more than 10,000 years ago, that's well before the Vikings, in case you need a history lesson, they're the sort of Paleolithic ancestors of the Vikings, they chewed gum. Yeah. They left their DNA behind in ancient chewing gums. This shows you how really pervasive this habit of chewing on something is. It didn't just start when they invented Chiclets in the 19th century. They made chewing gum out of birch bark pitch. So I guess they would take a little birch bark pitch and they would chew and chew and chew. And inadvertently, tiny amounts of their DNA got encased in the birch bark, which then was retrieved because they spat out the birch bark. And now we can sequence their DNA. So it helps us figure out, you know, how have humans evolved? Masticated lumps made from birch bark pitch. 10,000 years old. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks very much for joining us. You can become a more informed listener to Intelligent Medicine by going to drhoffman.com. Download our stories there, our podcasts. Subscribe to our newsletter. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And have yourselves a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. And appreciation goes out to all our service people who sacrifice their lives and for their service to America.